answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So, you know, we've become very close friends all of a sudden because their stock market today and our stock market today hit an all-time high. That means we're doing something right. But the cherished alliance between the United States and Japan is one of the most remarkable relationships in the entire world. And I have such respect for Japan and the country. And now I have a really great respect for the new and incredible Prime Minister.
The president talking with the prime minister of Japan there as President Trump addresses our troops overnight on board the USS George Washington at Japan's Yokosuka Naval Base. This on the heels of the meeting with Japan's newly elected prime minister, Sanae Takeishi. Both leaders signed framework agreements to secure rare earth mineral supplies through mining and processing. They're exploring a joint stockpiling arrangement to strengthen the security of both supply chains.
Yeah, that was going to be a great thing for all of us. And in fact, it helps set the stage and makes it a little bit more of a priority for Premier Xi of China to find a trade agreement with Trump. The newly elected Prime Minister of Japan is conservative. Trump said, I loved her before and I'm going to love her in this position. We're going to work together to bring our countries closer together and actually have a chance to do things we've never done before. I want you to stop and think for a second how far we have come in our relationship with various nations compared to World War II, Japan being one of them. Obviously, the attack on Pearl Harbor, the battle with Hitler in Germany. I was in broadcasting in the panhandle of Texas when imports began to come in from Germany and Japan. Volkswagen Beetle and some of the Japanese cars were just beginning to surface. And I will tell you this, the attitude of every Texan, not going to buy that damn thing. I'm not going to buy anything from the Krauts. Not going to take anything from the Slanites. Those were the slurs and words used. We've come a long ways. Trade does not account for and make up for what was lost on both sides during those wars. But how far we have come. And for the better. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, October 28, 2025. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program. Simple. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And after we complete each program, they are posted as podcast, video, and audio, available at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And reminding you, you have a phone, you've got us in your pocket all the time. If you download our app, News Talk STL, it's a free app, so it costs you nothing. And we do not share any information you need to give us to get the app. That's basically your email and things of that nature. We do not sell any of your information. And using that phone, you can listen to us from anywhere, and I mean anywhere. And if you are on the app right now, you open it up, you're hearing this program. You're hearing Larry Connors USA. You open it at another time, you'll hear one of our other great programs. And you can also use that to contact us, the station, comments, and also pull up podcasts as well. If you do not have the app, may I strongly encourage you to get it. Now, the way I use it in the car, we've got two great FM signals, 101.9, 94.1, but by FCC requirements, they are limited. And, of course, weather often interferes with any radio signal. When you put the app on your phone, you can play it right through the Bluetooth system in your car, right through the speakers. There will be no hissing and interruption. I strongly encourage you to do so. Reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. Once again, make a note right now and compare at the end of this program as to how much you learned in this hour you don't know right now. Not because you're not intelligent. It's just that I go to all different areas to pull out information you may not know or give you a better understanding of them. Later, I've got a guest coming on, and this might be the kind of thing that will raise up some of the old Gloria Steinem crowd. Could we actually have a liberal movement made up of women, or actually a conservative movement? Well, we've got a Supreme Court justice that certainly doesn't even understand what a woman is. We're going to get that guest coming up a little bit later. And the other thing to keep in mind before we wrap up this hour, yesterday, Mike Ferguson on his program was telling about an event that he and his wife, Rachel, witnessed while they were flying over the weekend on a tarmac. A very emotional event took place, an event that should catch all of us in our hearts and be thankful for the prices paid for our nation. That story coming up later in this hour. In the meantime, we have the meeting coming up later this week, as it's scheduled, between President Trump and Premier Xi. Retired four-star General Jack King sees this is how it could develop.
He comes into this, to the region itself, and specifically with the meeting with Xi, literally with the wind on his back. I mean, everybody recognizes what has happened in the Middle East, that the United States has pushed back Iran many years, and its proxies as well, and it has achieved a hegemonic dominance we haven't had there for decades. And he's also squeezing Russia over to Ukraine and putting considerably more pressure. These are two close partners of President Xi, Iran and Russia. And President Xi is very much aware of this dominant position that President Trump has, and very much aware, obviously, with the economic pressure that President Trump is putting on Xi. Remember, Xi has been in power over 12 years, Bill. The only president that has ever confronted him is President Trump. He did it in the first term, and he's doing it already now in his second term.
In other words, she recognizes Trump is a force to be reckoned with. And Putin recognizes that as well. But he's still trying to hold on to what he's got in his battle with Ukraine and expand it. Part of the deal that will obviously be a discussion between Trump and Premier Xi is you need to stop buying oil from Russia. You need to stop it because you are helping fuel the Russian war machinery. I don't know that that's actually going to happen, but that is part of the deal that they're looking at. When Xi and Trump actually get together, and that meeting is still set for possibly Thursday, it looks like, unless they end up changing the date or adjusting it. One of the other things that is very important for the U.S. is get China to lower efforts to get fentanyl into our nation. And as we're getting closer to that, The Economist writes it this way. Xi Jinping is at his boldest, brashest. How will Donald Trump fare this week? And their underlying headline is what 14,000 communications over 13 years tell you about China's evolving leader. They point out that this meeting with Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping, set for the 30th of this month, 2 days, this will be the first time they've sat down together in 6 years. And according to The Economist, the Chinese leader has changed in that time. Apparently more assured, less tentative than before when it comes to dealing with President Trump. Of course, his personal megaphone, as they point out, is not Truth Social. It's the People's Daily, a Communist Party mouthpiece. And they point out that since 2013, there have been entries which contain more than 20 million characters. And for a comparison, they say the Bible in Chinese contains fewer than 1 million. So they're going over all this, looking for what is in here that will show that we can find a relationship that will stay in good stead for the U.S. and China. I have Gordon Chang, a Chinese expert, booked for tomorrow. I had wanted him earlier, but the timing is going to work out great to have him for tomorrow. Because he has said Xi is losing possibly control in his own nation. Some of the background and those under him have been shuffled out and others in place. And that Xi, according to Gordon Chang, says he might not want to even leave China. He might be fearful that he will not be allowed to get back into the country. We'll have Gordon Chang tomorrow to get more details on that, and we'll see how close they are 1 day in advance of the talks. In the meantime, there are more concerns and issues about Joe Biden and his use of his auto pen.
In this new report, House Oversight Republicans are claiming that their investigation did find evidence that former President Biden declined both physically and mentally. And they accuse Biden's staff of covering that up. Democrats, of course, disagree with both of those claims. And as you alluded to, this conclusion in this report isn't really unexpected. It follows what Republicans in the Oversight Committee have been saying for several months now. But now they are taking it to a new level because they're asking the Department of Justice to investigate all of President Biden's executive actions. They're arguing some of the pardons he granted may not be valid because they were signed with an auto pen. Take a look at the statement from the Republican chairman of the committee, James Comer. He wrote, Biden's inner circle sought to deceive the public, cover up his decline, and took unauthorized executive actions with the auto pen that are now invalid. Adding also, there must be accountability.
There has to be accountability. And did Joe Biden even know many of these pardons were being issued? Fox News had reported previously that an ex-Biden chief of staff, Jeff Zients, told investigators that Hunter Biden was in the room for some of these discussions about who was going to get a pardon. Why? Hunter Biden had nothing to do with that, unless he's protecting friends and looking for a little payback down the road. According to the Zients transcript, saying the preemptive pardons the president gave his relatives, including Hunter, he said it was towards the end. What comes to mind is family discussions. But I don't know. That doesn't mean that was it. It was the pardons toward the end, very much at the end of the administration. I think there were a few meetings, but not many. Now, I could see why Hunter Biden might be involved in any pardons involving him, family members. but I'm not satisfied with what party did play. And James Comer, the House Oversight Chair, said we need a full comprehensive investigate how Joe Biden used the auto pen with his knowledge, how it was used without his knowledge, and how often. So the GOP majority issued a 100-page report yesterday detailing some of their findings. And according to the report, faced with a cognitive decline of President Joe Biden, White House aides at the direction of the inner circle hid the truth about the former president's condition and fitness for office. Now that we know to be fact. We know they did that. Which brings us to something else. Barack Obama is angry to no end. Well, I could care less. But what's the issue this time? He is apparently angry with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker, because she was quick to endorse Kamala Harris after Biden withdrew from the 2024 election. Jonathan Carl has a book coming out, Retribution, and says Pelosi and Obama had an understanding Harris would not simply be handed the nomination unchallenged. But within 24 hours of Biden drawing away from the race, Pelosi said, I endorse Kamala. One source said Pelosi's message to Pelosi, or rather Obama's message to Pelosi is, what the F did you just do? He wanted to have an open hearing, debate on who should succeed, not Harris. The reason why, you want to speculate? Because Obama knew she was not fit nor qualified. Whoopsie. Pelosi, too far gone at that point. Coming up, the president of Domestic Abuse and Violence International. It's time to call a halt to the feminist propaganda campaign that exists even now. Basically, victimizing women. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest coming up is going to shed some light on where feminism stands in today's world, in our nation, in addition to the world, when we have basically women have been tossed aside. They cannot even tell you what a woman is. Perfect example. So you're jumping in on me there, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Ed Bartlett is president of DAVIA, Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance. Well, since you thought that was so funny, what was so funny in what I said?
Well, Larry, you totally fooled me because you said women have been tossed aside, which is sort of the standard line that feminists use. And then you went in the direction of that I totally did not expect. So, but it's good to chat with you again.
Yeah, what we have seen is I don't think Gloria Steinem would stand a chance in hell against some of the, quote, lib feminists now. And they're not really for women. They're for LGBTQ plus whatever.
Well, this is really interesting, and it's really interesting you mentioned Gloria Steinem because she is the feminist who came up with this bizarre quote, and actually I'm going to read it to you if I may.
Sure.
Quote, patriarchy requires violence or the subliminal threat of violence. Now, think about that. First of all, it posits the idea of patriarchy when there is no such thing as patriarchy because men have been sacrificing their lives and working, you know, god-awful long hours to support their wives and families for you know, millennia. So the whole concept of patriarchy is one of those hoary feminist myths that have been out there. So, but what Gloria Steinem did was she connected patriarchy to domestic violence. All right. And that's the key link right there. So one of the key beliefs of feminist ideology is that only men are capable of committing domestic violence when the research is the opposite. Research shows this is a 50-50 problem.
And I think most in the States understand that, but across the world, Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance, your group, has 200 member organizations from 40 different countries, Africa, Asia, Australia, Europe, Latin America, North America. And is it seen that way in all of those countries?
Well, I can't make a generalization across the board. The feminists are very active all around the world, Europe, Africa, and so forth. But they are playing a losing hand right now because our group and many other groups are speaking the truth and say, hey, we have to be aware women are just as likely to be perpetrators of physical violence as men.
I've got a part of a piece here that appeared apparently earlier this month in Australia, where feminists from the Australian Institute of Family Studies was being asked, are you peddling feminist propaganda at taxpayer expense? Give me that in context.
Well, let's be very blunt, if I may, Larry. Feminists are very good at telling not just subtle lies or not just bending the truth. They are very good at telling lies, you know, overt, you know, blatant lies. And this is happening in Australia, where, again, feminists are simply denying the fact that men can be victims of domestic violence as well. But again, it all plays into the ideology. And of course, a lot of funding comes along with the belief that, you know, we have all of these violent men working everywhere you can imagine.
Well, the women can play both sides here. And we know some of them do that are true activists, play the victim and the attacker. In England, I understand on November 4th, you have about 160 police forces, charity service providers coming together to observe supporting male victims of domestic abuse. Why is it suddenly a reckoning that, yes, there's abuse on both sides? Still got you there? You still there with us? Looks like we lost him. We'll get him right back. That's Ed Bartlett. He's president of...
Hello?
Now, can you hear me now, Ed?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I missed you. Okay. I lost you for about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, what I was asking, built on the fact that on November 4th, 160 police forces and others will observe supporting male victims of domestic abuse day. Why is it so hard for some to comprehend men have also been victims of domestic abuse?
Well, I think it all goes back to ideology. I mean, ideology is a very powerful force. And of course, feminism is a neo-Marxist ideology. And, you know, if you've ever looked at how the socialist ideology played out across, you know, Eastern Europe and so forth, over and over again, they told outright lies in order to keep people in line. So, yeah, feminists are quite good at completely denying the fact that women are equally abusive. And actually, when you look at child abuse, it turns out that mothers are more likely to be child abusers than their fathers.
Is that because they're around the children more and it, quote, gets on their nerves more often?
I think that's a likely explanation, but simply denying that fact to be claiming that it's not true does nothing to help, you know, frazzled mothers who need help in some way. So, you know, it's an example how feminism actually has been unfair and harmful to mothers and to women in general.
Well, how does feminism equate to the current LGBTQ plus, where you don't even know if you're a woman or not?
Wow, you are asking great questions, and I'll tell you the answer. The end goal of Marxist ideology is what's called the communist state, which is no hierarchy and no state, you know, no government. That's the end goal. Well, think about it. What better way to get rid of any hint of hierarchy between male and female than to simply declare there is no such thing as male and female? It's just, you know, the 47 varieties in between male and female. And so this LGBT movement is Marxist inspired, and it's part of the broader, you know, Marxist dream to have a communist society, stateless and no hierarchy.
I see that India is considered, domestic violence laws in India are among the most one-sided of any country in the world. In what way?
Well, explicitly the laws in India, the domestic violence laws in India, are explicitly only for the benefit of women. So, for example, if a man is, you know, is victimized by his wife, there's no reason for him to go to the police because the police will say, sorry, you're a male. Males are not even mentioned in the law. Sorry, you've got to just take it like a man.
Well, right? Let's go to the next step. How's that stand up against Sharia law, which demeans women?
Well, I believe Sharia law is more in the Islamic Middle East countries. I'm not aware that Sharia law is in India.
No, I wasn't talking about India. I'm just talking about the fact that it exists.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, yeah, it turns out that even when you look at Iran or Iraq, Middle Eastern countries, there's a lot of domestic violence committed by women there as well. So, yeah, this is a global problem.
And yet it's often broad stroke. Women are the victims. Men are the perpetrators.
Well, it's proven to be a great way to get literally millions of dollars of funding. And I'm talking about the United States. It's called the Violence Against Women Act. It channels literally millions of dollars to radical feminist organizations in every state. And they use that money for a lot of purposes that may have very little to do with domestic violence.
Ed, I want to thank you for your time. Ed Bartlett, president of DAVIA, Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance. As you say, it's time to call a halt to the feminist domestic violence propaganda campaign. Thank you, sir.
That's right. Great to be with you, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, the fight continues over why is Trump destroying the White House? You know why now. But the left is going to continue to sell the story they think that will carry the day. It doesn't. And before we wrap up the hour, the emotional story of what Mike Ferguson and his wife saw the other day from their airplane window. That's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is about this November's election, but take that energy, that passion, and take it into 26 so that we can take back the House of Representatives, take the Senate, and take back our country. With your help, we will. Elect Soren, and we take back America. Thank you, Queens. Thank you, New York. God love you guys.
There is Kathy Hochul selling her soul to get support by endorsing Zoran Mamdani to be the next New York City mayor. And to his credit, she did it before Hakeem Jeffries did. Hakeem Jeffries was slow to take that action. He knows all the baggage that Mamdani has. And that includes some of the things he's talked about with an imam who is an unindicted co-conspirator to the World Trade Center bombing back in 1993. And he continues to make the rounds of various mosques. And he's not preaching democracy. He is preaching radical Islam. But to the New Yorkers, the average citizen, I'm going to give you everything you need and want, and it won't cost you a dime. Babylon Bee, satire. Understand that. This was sent to me by my boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew. I had overlooked it. But here's how it is from the Babylon Bee. Mamdani has vowed to knock down the One World Trade Center to build more affordable housing. You know what? That rings pretty true for a lot of people. It's not satire. And he admitted taking down that tower was something of a political suicide mission, but he was going to do it. He's quoted as saying, "We will not allow the wealthy capitalist elite to hijack our city. As mayor, I promised to take this problem head on by bringing down One World Trade Center and putting up cheap government-controlled apartments. I understand people believe this could blow up my face, but as long as I'm at the controls, that's where we're heading." And he just got the endorsement of Governor Hochul. Why would she endorse something like that? Now, again, what I read Mamdani saying is all farce. It's a parody. But he thinks that way, and she's endorsing him because she realizes he's going to win, and she wants to win to stay governor. So she's got to be with him. Hakeem Jeffries also facing a 2026 primary election, like every member of the House, and he's reached the point realizing, if I don't side with this guy, I could be primaried by someone farther to the left than I am, and I could lose my position. These are Congress critters fighting to continue their existence, holding on to whatever they can so they can stay alive. They're not doing it for the benefit of New Yorkers. They're not doing it for the benefit of our nation. And according to the Babylon MD, at publishing time, Mamdani also announced he would be removing all synagogues in the city, Jewish synagogues, and replacing them with new government-operated grocery stores. And again, that's parody. It's meant to be a joke. But I don't think it's playing that way over with Mamdani and his leftist friends. Joe Rogan was talking on his program about We need to be sounding warning bells. We need a Paul Revere ride through the streets of what's coming.
Worst case scenario is a state adopts Sharia law. This is worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And I think all these people that would cry against the concept of Islamophobia really need to understand what that means what you're talking about. And to say that that's an outrageous and ridiculous idea that's never going to take place, it's kind of already worked its way into some societies.
It has.
And there are, is it Minnesota that has call to prayer? Like, is it Minneapolis?
I don't know where. I know that there is a place in Minnesota, I believe, where they have prayer calls as a matter of local government. I do think that's happening.
That starts getting real weird.
Yeah.
Well, stuff like that starts getting real weird. And when you have people that are openly saying our goal is, and they've talked about this in Toronto, like activists have said, our goal is to outbreed everyone who is not Muslim and vote it out and put Sharia law in place.
Yeah.
And you want to see where that's already happening? As I have told you for years now, watch what's happening in Europe. Their population, French-born population, being outstripped by foreign-born, most of them Muslim. And in Germany, the same thing. They're not coming in to assimilate and practice their religion along with yours. They're coming in to destroy your religion. A call to prayer, some would say, well, how's that any different than church bells ringing on a Sunday morning? That's a call to worship. Yes, it is. But the call to prayer as exercised by the Muslims is deeper than that. And if it's being broadcast, public facilities, taxpayer dollars, you're already losing your religion. And taking synagogues and turning them into grocery stores. I'm not laughing. I'm fearful. Here's how one Muslim described what we will do.
We are the messengers of the messenger. We are the representative of this deen of Islam. We have to be the solution. The future is ours. Every ideal nightmare of a Muslim Europe will come true. They can be as mad as they want. I don't care. America will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We have to be a part of that change. We have to be a part of that da'wah. We have to be a part of those ghuraba who stand firm on our aqidah and our practice and our deen and never ever apologize. We're unapologetic. Never ever compromise. We're uncompromising.
I think that's pretty direct. Do you have any doubt what he's intending? And what the plan is, I think it's very clear. And Mondami has been quickly racking up with Jeffries and Hochul and other leftists to come into his camp and endorse him, including AOC, who made a point to say, when we look at New York City and she talks about who built the city, she does not even consider one white person had anything to do with building, maintaining New York City.
This city was built by the Irish escaping famine, Italians fleeing fascism, Jews escaping Holocaust, Black Americans fleeing slavery and Jim Crow, Latinos seeking a better life, Native people standing for themselves, Asian Americans coming together in Queens, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, in Staten Island, in this country, in a vision to build the freest, toughest, and greatest city on earth.
But while she's true and right about the Irish Americans and those from Germany who came, and others, there are also many Europeans who came, quote, white people. The fact that she breaks it out like that is just another effort to divide our nation and our cities. many of those she referred to are here because this country welcomed them to come to our nation, bring their culture, their music, their religion, their food, their language, and assimilate, be part of America, and truly make America greater, which it has. But what's underway now is bring as many in as we can to disrupt and destroy America. And, of course, we have a fight going on over Donald Trump is trying to destroy the White House. Florida Congressman Donalds.
First of all, the outrage from the left is just that. It's just outrage. They're just mad. They lost last year. They have no footing. They have no leadership. They have no real ideas. So what is it? Just be mad at anything that Donald Trump does. Adding a ballroom to the White House complex is a great idea. It's something that should have happened, quite frankly, long ago, especially considering, and like it was said in your lead-in, you have so many different events that come to the White House. I've been there several times. The last time I was there at a big celebration, it was the Florida Gators celebrating their national championship win in basketball. And in the East Room, it was jam-packed. People are having to, like, push each other out of the way, try to get some water or get to the bathroom. I mean, they weren't pushing. They were orderly, but I'm making my point. It's very stuffy, very crowded. People are spilling into the hallways. A great, big, beautiful ballroom is what is needed at the White House grounds, and that's for every president into the future, Democrat or Republican. It'll be in the best interest of America. Yeah.
It's not being built just for Donald Trump. In fact, it probably will not be finished before he leaves office. I take that back. They might at least get it finished to the extent that it's usable. But they would have you believe this is Donald Trump. Donald Trump offered to build a ballroom for the White House when Obama was in office. He said, I will pay for it. Obama nixed it. Need to take a moment to tell you about what's happening in Jamaica. They're being slammed hard by a Category 5 hurricane. They gave mandatory evacuations. Well, if you're in Jamaica, there's not a lot of places to go. So you need to keep them in your prayers. A lot of those folks, in addition to the water, the tide, the wind, they're going to face misery in addition to possible death. Keep them in your prayers. This is a major hurricane, the greatest in 175 years, they say, to hit Jamaica. And it hit it dead on as a target. The other morning, Mike Ferguson on the Mike Ferguson Show was sharing a story of he and his wife, Rachel, had taken a trip up to the Northeast. And as her plane prepared to deplane, passengers were told, please remain in your seats. And the reason was there was a dignified transfer of a World War II death who was being brought back to home. He died during the Bataan Death March or shortly thereafter. Here's the way Mike described it.
We've got this video that's rolling here of the what they call the dignified transfer. Mm-hmm. The casket that you're going to see on that video, and I'll put it up on social media later, was that we are 99% certain of Second Lieutenant Charles Arneo. He was killed in the Philippines during the war. This was his remains being brought back to his country and his family after 80 years.
Yep.
That's what we were witnessing. And it was the flag-draped coffin, the honor guard saluting, the escort saluting with the family member.
And that is available on our website so you can see it. And it was, in fact, U.S. Army Second Lieutenant Charles Arneo, 30 years of age when he was killed during World War II. The family had already been briefed that they finally had identified him through DNA and other means. He apparently might have been on one of the Japanese military ships transporting prisoners from one location to another and was hit by U.S. or other Allied bombers. They did not know American prisoners were on board. But now he's home. 80 years ago, he died. He has children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who never knew the man. But that night on the tarmac, an honor guard recognizing his devotion to his country. Welcome home, sir. Thank you for your service. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.